We need the gracious help of the Holy Spirit as we would meditate in the Word of God. This evening we call your attention to the Word you will find in the Psalm 43, reading verses 3 and 4. The Psalm 43, reading verses 3 and 4. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. My feel on a Thanksgiving service, strange psalms to read, and yet, is it not so often our experience in troubles and trials? We don't seem to get those answers to prayer we feel to need. The poet says, and often mourn an absent God. And the devil says, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Tempt us, yea, that he never existed, or he has forsaken us. Tempt us that we indeed are out of the secret. Oh, we know those trials if we're the Lord's people. Yea, in faith, though the smallest, will ever be tried. And the psalmist here, yea, in these two psalms, they appear to be one, but that we know not. Maybe that second psalm was, first by inspiration of the Spirit, brought forth from the penman of it, then later, oh, that further addition, as it were, in that Psalm 33. All the trials, I say, and tribulations we often have to go through in order to praise our God. Our natural heart can never bring forth praise to God, however we may try. You know, we remain dead and far off in of ourselves. And these hosannas, I say, languish on our lips. And did not the Lord say by the psalmist, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me? And those troubles, you see, oh, they do come into our lives with a purpose. They're amongst those all things that work together for good. And the psalmist in 126, he says, does he not, by the Spirit, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, a lot of that goes for praise is no praise at all. Yes, it is this experience. It is a moving lip and a silent heart. And I believe from, I trust, gracious experience, that our greatest times of praising our God have been, you know, when we've been in some deep trial, some deep trouble, some great need, and the Lord has been mindful of us, yes, and heard our prayer. But here, the psalmist, you see, has that grace of hope, does he not, in his heart? You know, in our worst times, our darkest times, if we're the Lord's children, you know, our hope is not maybe the full assurance of hope, but yet like faith, though damped, it never dies. You know, it's like that anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth into that which is within the veil, whether the forerunner has entered, even Jesus, and I praise forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yes, how precious is that hope of God's elect, or the hidings of the Lord's face, no doubt, with the dear psalmist here. And yet, a thirsting for God, a thirsting for the living God. Yea, the psalmist says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. He knew what it was to praise his God. He was no stranger, you know, to that love of Christ being shed abroad in his heart and praising his God with a full heart. A woman came to me once, and she said, years ago, I was down in South Chard, and I never forget the way you spoke once, and you said, our life's like this, death and resurrection, death and resurrection, death and resurrection, and so it is. Yeah. It's like so many mountain peaks and valleys. We're not always on the mountain top. We have to go down in the valley first. And that's where the fresh pasture is. That's where our souls are taught. That's where we are fed. Yes, that's where we're taught the truths of God, shown our total depravity and our worthlessness, our unworthiness. All the Lord knows how to humble us. Until we come to this place, humble yourselves therefore under his mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Oh, if he answers not your prayer, go again seven times. Jacob wrestled, did he not? Oh, he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And the poet says, wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates, and we prove it, do we not, in our lives. Oh, our times of sorrow and of joy are in the Lord's hand. Yes, how he said to his disciples, now ye have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and no man taketh your joy from you. These times of joy, all these sweet tastes of heavenly joy in our hearts, are amongst those things that I believe, as my thoughts go, you know, to a certain part of Scripture in the second epistle of John, You know, the word is this: look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Those times of joy cannot be taken away. No. How often they'll be in our remembrance. And what a strength they will be. Oh, in a realization that God hasn't changed. What he was to us at that time, he still is to us. Yes, and will be to us in all our troubles and all our trials. But to stress this, you know, if we are on the mountaintop of praise, we shall have been in the valley, you say, of humiliation. We find that. But you see here in this word, how the dear, in this 43rd psalm, the dear psalmist, he says, "For thou art the God of my strength." It's lovely to be able to go to God like this and say, "Why dost thou cast me off? Show me, Lord. Show me. Why is it I'm cast off?" You say, well, you don't ever look far. In your own heart. Your own fallen nature. Yes, those things. Yes, your inconsistency. But you know, the soul comes, you know, to his God. Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted. And we know what we want. We want the Lord. We want him to appear for us, do we not? None else will do. No. It's no good going to man. It's the Lord himself that the poor, tried sinner wants. And he is never, I say, without that hope. There is this: all deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waters, but all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Yet, a beautiful gospel word, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Oh, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to shed tears in prayer. Yes, it's good to sow in tears at the throne of grace. You know, a lot of our prayer, what is it? What is our prayer? Our formal, our cold. But you know, when we're in trouble, when we're in great need, when we're destitute, when we feel so, you know, it's good to go to a throne of grace. We can speak to the Lord, tell him our case. Yes, my soul, Lord, is cast down within me. Yes, you can go. You know, a public prayer is so different to private prayer. When we get, as it were, into the closet and shut our door behind us and get on our knees to our God. Oh, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Lord, arise! Glorify thine own name in my deliverance, poor sinner. What grace that will be. Yea, what loving kindness that will be. Yea, oh, to, as it were, come down even to my case. David knew what he was, did he not, in all his troubles and all his trials. And one of my favourite psalms is that 18th psalm, when he was delivered. Then he could praise his God. Then he could sing those blessed songs of praise. Then he could say, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Oh, he could say that. Yes, Oh, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Yes, how precious. Oh, it's a beautiful psalm, I say, to read how the Lord appeared. Yea, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated, which hated me, for they were too strong for me. He brought me forth also into a large place. Oh, a large place. Do you know what a large place is? When your heart is full of praise and thanksgiving. You know there's such a thing as weeping for joy, as well as weeping in our sorrows. You know this is our God. You know we don't really deserve hell. Often think of that. And maybe some of you, you know, when you look back to the days we're under Genesis, I've told you before, probably I passed a spot where I was hurting lungs lawfully at 75 mile an hour, and I came to an, I passed it today. I came to an awful S bend, and I was half asleep in the early hours of the morning, returning to my base at Portsmouth at that time. And you know, someone had put 7 or 8 barrel loads of white stuff. I didn't realise it was subsoil. And along the side of the road as I travel north towards Birmingham to the Midlands, around about where the 303 now, as it were, goes over the A34. Some of you remember when they did that underpass and all the white chalk of subsoil, and someone had tipped those barrel loads there. And I noticed them as I went out, and I came down, and suddenly the side spray of the lights, flash, 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 bend. And I wept. At times, you know, right in the middle of this bend was a public house. It's all been rebuilt. The public house stands on its own now, but it was in the middle of an S bend. And not for not that, you know, I'd have gone straight in there. And I'd been in a deserved hell. I've often had to praise the Lord for that. You know, going by, can you look back over your lives? Oh, the goodness and the mercy of our God. We have great cause, every one of us, to praise the Lord. But we cannot always do it. Cannot get at it. We want to, but we can't. But the Lord knows how to, as it were, bring us to his feet. There was one, I read that particular part of scripture regarding Hannah. Oh, when you think of the troubles of dear Hannah. Oh, I've often thought of Hannah, you know, with the Peninnah, as it were, causing her to be so cast down, and the poor Hannah, you see, what was this? And I think I think some overlook it. What was the concern in her heart to have a child just for the child's sake? No, wasn't. Wasn't that at all? It was a proof of her interest in God's great salvation. It was this. No good you going, Hannah. No good you going up to the feast. The Lord has no favour to you. You're barren. Yes, it was at the time when they went to the feast, particularly. Was it not that Peninnah marked? That's just when the enemy comes in. That's when Satan comes in. When we go up to the feast, we go up to the house of God. No good you going. No. You're barren. Spiritually barren. No hope for you. Yes. And now the enemy bows. And dear Hannah, you know, she goes in all the depth of her sorrow. And I've often thought of her, you know, her lips moved. And her voice was not heard, yet real prayer, You say, had she prayed before? No doubt, many times. But sometimes, you know, he brings down our heart with labour. We fall down and there's none to help. Then we cry unto the Lord in our trouble. It's no good stopping at home and grieving and sulking. You know why we're there? Oh, it's when the Lord brings us, he leads us to himself. He leads us to himself. And this is just what the dear psalmist wanted, did he not? He says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. What for? Or to show me that I am thine. To show me that I am one of thy children. Do you come into the house of God like that? Or do you take it for granted? I say, do you know what it is to come in the house of God? Maybe you know you've been under some great temptation. Maybe another has scorned you and said, you're not a child of God. Someone once said to me, you're never sent into the ministry. You were never called to preach. And I had to get on my knees, I tell you. At that time, I remember that Wednesday afternoon, on my knees, in the bathroom with the door shut. And I said, Lord, wept before the Lord. I said, show me, Lord. Show me that I'm thy servant. And the Lord said, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them. Yeah. And they follow me. Yes, and none can pluck them out of my hand. And none can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Yeah. Oh, it was there. And I believe there the Holy Spirit took me over all my experience. And I wept. And I wept. And I wept. Till I was so weak. Although I was naturally bodily strong, I was so weak. You know, I could hardly hold up. And I went to chapel that night. And I never, ever forget it. And you know, the hymn on the board was 345. The first hymn which the deacon had chosen. And it was, some of you probably can quote it before I turn it up. But it was this. My soul with joy attend. While Jesus' silence breaks, no angel's harp such music yields as what my shepherd speaks. I know my sheep, he cries. My soul approves them well. Vain is the treacherous world's disguise, and vain the rage of hell. How precious. And I went into the vestry, and I wept and sobbed. And the poor deacon came in, and he was alarmed. And I said, Mr. Hazel, you've never put a better hymn up on the board. Yes, and oh, everything told me that night. Yes, you are his servant. You are his child. And I preached in tears. My sheep, hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Yes, and then you'll praise him. Oh, then you'll praise him. Oh, the beauty. You know, the beauty of this word we have before us. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thine apt tabernacle. Let them bring me to thyself. Let them bring me to thyself. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Couldn't before. Oh, you couldn't before. Hannah couldn't sing that song of praise. They call it a prayer. I've often wondered at that word, where Hannah prayed that part. Oh, it was indeed a song of praise. Wasn't thanksgiving for Samuel? For a child? It was this. A knowledge that God was her God. And she was his child. That she did have a part in that great salvation which he had wrought out on Calvary's tree. Yeah, for her. Then. Oh, as the beater then. I say, then you'll praise him. Then you'll praise him with a full heart. Then it'll be real heartfelt thanksgiving. Yes, then you'll be before him at his feet, at his footstool. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, not my joy, my exceeding joy, my exceeding joy. Yeah. Oh, when the gospel comes into the heart, yes, in that blessed experimental way, you know, then our heart goes out to him. Oh, and we feel, why me, O blessed God, why me? Why such a wretch as me who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free? Oh, the beauty of this. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You know, that's praise. That's praise. You know, dear Hannah, there's a good many examples in the Word of God. You know, we haven't time to... you'll never exhaust it. You'll find it so many, many times in the Word of God when the Lord reveals himself and answers the prayers of his people. You know, it's that time when they shall praise him. He has said so. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt, not might, thou shalt glorify me. You know, it's he who works it in us. He works it in us. It's his work. Yea, those times of praise. It's he. He says he works in his people. Yeah, and how beautiful that is. But here, when we find dear Hannah and that beautiful song of praise that she sang, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." You know, the apostle, he says in writing to the, I think it's probably the Colossians, it is, yes, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Oh, does he have the preeminence in your heart? Yeah, the preeminence in the heart of Hannah. She said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." That's the point of rejoicing. We sang, did we not, in that hymn we sang together, was it 1151, I believe, but oh, what human eye can trace or human heart conceive the greater riches of his grace, impoverished souls receive love everlasting, has not spared its best beloved son, and in him endless life prepared for souls by sin undone. How will we find this in experience? You know, real praise and real thanksgiving when our heart is in the matter and the Lord answers the prayer. You see, the psalmist, I presume it was probably David that wrote, although his name is not there, it is so typical, is it not, of David? Yes. O send out thy light and thy truth. In another psalm, who will show us any good, they say. O lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, says the dear David. I'll try and turn it. It's turn it up. It's one of the early psalms. And there be many that say, Psalm 4, many that say, "Who will show us any good? Lord," he said, "lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased," the time of harvest we've been singing about. Something greater than that. Yes, greater than that. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Where is the safe dwelling? Where is the safe dwelling? Well, the psalmist in 91st Psalm, he tells us, you see, under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, that's the place. Yes, all to know my Jesus crucified. By far exceeds all else beside. And certainly it does. Certainly it does. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is to be in this place, a little taste of heaven, real praise in our heart and upon our lips. Yes, then we love him. Oh, we love him with an exceeding great love. The Lord Jesus Christ, a sweet knowledge of salvation. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. As though he says, I'm helpless. I can't get there, Lord, myself. No. Oh, let thy work appear unto thy servant. Oh, have that work appear. And to feel it in our own hearts. And that's real thanksgiving. And the preciousness of it. Yes, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. What did the tabernacles mean? What did they mean? What did the altar mean? Well, of course, David lived in the time of the ceremonial law, did he not? It was that worship upon which he attended, that worship he loved. He could say, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Yea, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You're not coming in and out the house of God like a door upon its hinges. You know, in that case, you know, we don't always dwell in this place. Death and resurrection, as I said, death and resurrection. We sometimes call into the house of God. Hard as a seat we sit on. But you know, there are those times of joy. I've often thought of what we read the Lord Jesus Christ said of those who came after the door was shut and they said, Lord, open unto us. And he had to send them away. He sent them away. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't think the Lord can say that of me. Despite my sinfulness, he's known me at the throne of grace. He's known me in trouble. I trust some of you have been the same. You can look back to those times. And he's known you when you've had to go back and return thanks to him. I had it yesterday, you know, in a little way. This was just a little way. I was going somewhere. I'm going somewhere next week. And I'd put out our passports. And I'd put out our driving licenses. I'd put out all the papers ready to go. And I lost them. And I couldn't find them. And I thought they'd been cast out in the rubbish. And I searched for about 2 hours. I went into my loft, I went all over the place, looking and searching and searching. And in the end, I was praying really, but I thought there was nothing for it. So I dropped on my knees, you know, alongside the bed, and I said, Lord, oh, do find it. Oh, do find it for me. And I stood up, and I looked down at a little oak chest, and I suddenly thought, perhaps he's fallen behind. And there it was. And I had to get on my knees again. I was there on my knees again to thank him and to praise him. You say, well, that's a little thing. Well, it's a little thing compared with the need of our souls. It is a little thing. It's a little thing that pertains, you know, to this life, this passing life. But, you know, it's very real at the time. It's very real at the time. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful evidence, you know, that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. That was the thought I could not bear. Didst thou not hear and answer prayer, but a prayer hearing, answering God supports me under every load, the poet says. And don't you know it? Haven't you proved it? David had so many times. He certainly had. And he knew what he wanted. He says, then will I go unto the altar of God. Well, that was David's altar. and the sacrifice on the altar, a type of Christ. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our altar. If you read in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we have an altar. I'll turn it up again to read it correctly. I don't like misquoting the scriptures. And we find this, that the word declares, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Yeah. And that altar is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the altar that sanctifies the gift. And though we're men of sinful lips, you know, when we come to our God, we can only come by the Lord Jesus Christ as that one mediator between God and men. We can. That's the only way we can come. And that is the altar upon which our prayers and our praises, you know, are sanctified. Yes. Yes, the altar sanctifies the gift. And so we cannot. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. What a wonderful thing it is to feel this, to go to God in that way. And though we're sinners, to find our prayers and our praises accepted in heaven's high court above. Yes, through the Lord Jesus. How sweet that word is. It says this. And I'll just quote this, going back to Hebrews 13. We read this, do we not, in that chapter? It says this, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I say, is Christ in it? Is Christ in it, in our thanksgiving? It's a thanksgiving service. I don't think I've ever spoken like this. Over the many years I've been able to take this service, but I felt it laid upon my heart. And this wonderful prayer of the dear psalmist, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. You know that truth as it is only in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That truth makes him precious, makes him essential. You know it says of heaven that the name of the city in that day shall be called the Lord is there. If the Lord wasn't there, it wouldn't be heaven. No. This is where I find my heaven. The poet says, does he not? Yes, how precious that is. And to feel this love of Christ shed abroad in our heart, to feel he has love to us. He shows that love in that great deliverances, that great compassion he shows to us in our troubles. And so we sow in tears, as the word says, and we reap in joy. What a reaping that is. You know, there's a depth in this worship. You know, the rest is but froth, is it not? I say, it cannot compare with this, when our heart is fully taken up with him in praise and thanksgiving. It's very rare in our experience. It's very rare. But in those, there are those times and those places, we shan't be strangers to the praise of heaven, to the thanksgiving of heaven. You know, eternity will never wear out, you know, that song of Moses and the Lamb unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood and made us priests, kings and priests unto God. To his name be glory for ever and ever and ever. I say, is the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? Well, if he is, why is he precious to you? Because you believe. Because you believe. Yeah. You know, these things, they are a trial of our faith, and our faith is strengthened by these down sittings. You know, I feel it very, very true. The poet sets it in speaking about our lives, and he says he that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Times of sickness, times of health, times of penury and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief, times to tempter's power to prove, times to taste the Saviour's love, all must come and last an end, as shall please my heavenly friend. Is he who works in the hearts of his people. Oh, you know, we shall have great cause to praise him for a boundless eternity. But you know, that song of praise begins here below. Yes. I say, that sentence passed by Daniel at the behest of God upon wicked King Belteshazzar, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Thou hast never glorified. Well, I tell you what, if you've never been in trouble, if you've never been in conviction of sin, if you've never backslidden, if you've never been brought to that place where his love has been so to you that he's brought down your heart with labour, that you fell down when there was none to help, if you've not known the wonderful truth of that 107th Psalm, you know, how shall you praise him in heaven? How shall you praise him in heaven? You know, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It starts where God begins, with his people, calling them by his grace, delivering them from Satan's power, calling them to hunger and thirst after righteousness, calling them to wander in the wilderness in a solitary way. And time again, you know, oh, when they backslide, when they rebel, when they're in the rebellious, when they, I know this, and some of you know this, that rebellious dwell in a dry land, but he'll bring out our heart with labour. We shall fall down, there'll be none to help. Then we shall cry. Not just pray, we shall cry unto him in our trouble. And he'll deliver us out of all our distresses. I've often thought, as we journey here below, you know, these trials will be with us, I believe, all our journey through. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, in that sweet 107th Psalm, we find this set before us when we come towards the end. And it says this. It says, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water spring. It's lovely when it's like that. It's lovely when our heart is like that. That dry ground of our nature. It's so wonderful, you know, when the Lord, as it were, transforms it. When that water of life springs up in our heart, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground to water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the sea fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. It's a wonderful, you know, we have these seasons in our lives. Seasons when we praise him. Seasons when we glorify his name. It seems he gives us rest from trouble. But you know, man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward, again they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way, yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. Are you one of that family? The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, and this is beautiful, this is, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He deals with us as children. He deals with us as his children. Oh, he lets, you know, those dead professors go in their way, go their way. But his people are a tried people. He brings the third part through the fire. Yes, we read that. He brings them through the fire. And he says, it is my people. And they say, the Lord is my God. These things, you know, are burnt, as it were, into our very souls. And what's the end in view? An eternity of praise. You know, it's time I finished. But I can't quite finish. It keeps flowing, as it were, into my heart. And how beautiful is that word. I shall now try to just mention when it says this, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, all that's real, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's earth's experience. You know, the rich man had his good things in this life. Poor Lazarus has them in heaven. He has them in heaven. Yes, in this world he was poor and he was afflicted, but now he's at rest. What a precious thing that is. Is it not a precious thing? I say, do you want to praise him? Do sometimes you feel, yes, I would praise him. But praise, as I say, our Hosannas die on our lips. He knows how to bring us to that place where we shall praise him with a full heart. Yes, it'll be a sweet taste of heaven in our souls. World and the earth and our troubles and things will disappear, and our hearts are completely taken up in the praise of him who we love because he first loved us.
Hymn number 333, June 677. Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333, June 677.
Thank you.
announce that the collection to be taken this evening is in support of the Gospel Standard Bethesda Fund. Freely you've received, freely give. Now, Lord, do take us under thy kind care and keeping. Give us yearning mercies to our homes. And do pardon what thy pure eye has seen amiss in our gathering together and worship this evening. And, dear Lord, oh, do pardon all that has been amiss and bless thy word to us. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit rest upon us and abide with us each, and with the whole Israel of God, both now and evermore. Amen.